From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Listeners, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today, Thursday, June the 18th, 2020, will bring you more information coming from Indonesia. Anyway, I'm Stefanus. I will be accompanying you in today's program, and we will begin with the news. So stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Coronavirus dexamethasone proved first life-saving drug. Two ministers deliver social assistance to workers impacted by COVID-19. Now the news in details. The UK's government says that it has adequate supplies of a drug dexamethasone that has shown success in saving the lives of people who become seriously ill from coronavirus, including enough for any second peak of cases. Nuka Kusumawati has the details.
A cheap and widely available drug can help save the lives of patients seriously ill with coronavirus. The low-dose steroid treatment dexamethasone is a major breakthrough in the fight against the deadly virus, UK experts say. The drug is part of the world's biggest trial testing existing treatments to see if they also work for coronavirus. It cut the risk of death by a third of four patients on ventilators. For those on oxygen, it cut deaths by a fifth. Had the drug had been used to treat patients in the UK from the start of the pandemic, up to 5,000 lives could have been saved. During a press conference held on Tuesday, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson stated his pride on UK's research team that has found the effective drug to reduce death on COVID-19 patients.
I am proud of these British scientists, backed by UK government funding, who have led the first robust clinical trial anywhere in the world to find a coronavirus treatment proven to reduce the risk of death. And I'm very grateful to the thousands of patients in this country who volunteered for the trials. Thank you. This drug, dexamethasone, can now be made available across the NHS. And we've taken steps to ensure we have enough supplies, even in the event of a second peak.
The UK's government has 200,000 courses of the drugs in its stockpile and says the NHS will make the dexamethasone available to patients. About 19 out of 20 patients with coronavirus recover without being admitted to hospital. The drug is already used to reduce inflammation in a range of other conditions, including arthritis, asthma, and some skin conditions. Peter Horby, professor of Emerging Infectious Disease and Global Health at the University of Oxford, said that the drug gives extraordinary effect on the patients with ventilators.
So in ventilated patients with COVID-19, the drug dexamethasone, so 10 days of treatment with that, which is a tablet or oral injection, reduces the risk of death by about 35%. In patients on the ward who require oxygen and have COVID, it reduces the risk of death by about 20%. That covers about 75% of patients in the hospital who will receive a mortality benefit from using this drug. There's another group of patients who don't require oxygen but have COVID, and we did not see a benefit in those patients. So it's not a drug that you would use in the community or in outpatients or in patients on the ward who didn't have breathing difficulties. But in patients with breathing difficulties who require oxygen or ventilation, it really is showing quite a significant effect.
Professor Horby added that this is the only drug so far that has been shown to reduce mortality, and it reduces it significantly. It's a major breakthrough. The recovery trial running since March. Also look at the malaria drug hydroxychloroquine, which has subsequently been ditched amid concerns it increases fatalities and heart problems. The antiviral drug remdesivir, meanwhile, which appears to shorten recovery time for people with coronavirus, is already being made available on the United Kingdom National Health Service.
Minister of Manpower Ida Fauzia and Minister of Social Affairs Julia Ripe Batubara distributed social assistance to workers laid off or compelled to take unpaid leave due to COVID-19 pandemic. The social assistance, comprising 23,000 basic food and rice packages, will be handed out to the laid-off workers or those left with no choice but to take unpaid leave in Jakarta. It was distributed on the basis of data verified by the Ministry of Manpower. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister Fauzia stated, before symbolically distributing social assistance packages to 13 representatives of labor unions at the Ministry of Manpower in Jakarta on Wednesday, that in principle, the government is mindful of the plight of fellow workers encumbered by the pandemic. The government actions are expected to lower their burden. In this new normal era, people must remain creative and productive even though they are still in the COVID-19 pandemic that has not subsided in the country. Literacy is the answer so that someone is able to read the situation well, explore further knowledge, and can transform into knowledge and products or services in a bid to improve quality of life. This is the core of the webinar entitled Rising from a Pandemic with Literacy, held by the National Library of Indonesia along with the National Development Planning Agency Bappenas on Wednesday. The event was attended by 1,000 participants consisting of representatives of ministries, institutions, regional governments of Bapeda and library services, academics, literacy activists and the general public. Head of the National Library M. Sharif Bando said that the library is a solution to improve the intelligence and empowerment of the nation, which has a significant impact on the end user. This has increased infrastructure for access to information and knowledge, strengthened the sources of knowledge and the value of information for individuals. The keynote speaker in the webinar, who was also the Minister of National Development Planning, head of the National Development Planning Agency Bappenas, Suharso Monowarfa, emphasized the need to strengthen the culture of community literacy as an effort to be able to rise from adversity. This is important because literacy as a form of cognitive skills has a major role to play in the socio-economic recovery of post-COVID-19 societies. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. U.S. President Donald Trump pleaded with China's President Xi Jinping for help to win re-election in 2020. This was revealed by the U.S. President's former National Security Advisor John Bolton, writes in an explosive new behind-the-scenes book, according to expert published on Wednesday. As quoted by AFP.com in a blistering critic, which the White House has sued to block, Bolton alleged that Trump's focus on winning a second term was the driving principle of his foreign policy and that top aides routinely disparage the Republican leader for his ignorance of basic geopolitical facts. In excerpts published by The Washington Post, The New York Times, and The Wall Street Journal, Bolton also claimed President Trump repeatedly showed a readiness to overlook Chinese rights abuses, most strikingly telling President Xi Jinping the mass internment of Uyghur Muslims was exactly the right thing to do. On Wednesday, the UN General Assembly elected 4 new members of the Security Council for 2021 and 2022, with Canada losing out again and the battle for the African seat going to a second round. As quoted by AFP.com, India, Mexico, Norway, and Ireland were chosen as non-permanent members, while Djibouti and Kenya, both of which failed to receive the 2/3 vote majority required to win will go to a second round of voting on Thursday. Canada was beaten once again for one of the western seats by Ireland and Norway, despite a long and a star-studded campaign, a result likely to be a blow to Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. In the Asia-Pacific region, India, which has been trying unsuccessfully to win a permanent seat in an expanded Security Council, ran unopposed to win 184 votes out of the 192 countries that participated in the election. The result means that India will now have a seat at the same table as China just a few days after the two nations disputed their Himalayan border, trading blame for a brawl that left at least 20 Indian soldiers dead. Mexico, which is also ran unopposed, earned 187 votes. U.S. trade talk with the European Union and Britain have stalled due to suspicion of poor American food standard. This was stated by Washington chief negotiators on Wednesday. As quoted by AFP.com, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer told lawmakers on Capitol Hill that he thinks there's a desire to make things work through, but for whatever reason, his side has not made much headway. There is a sense in Europe, which he thinks is shared, hopefully not as deeply with Britain as it is with Europe, that American food is unsafe. He dismissed the worries, however, as thinly veiled protectionism. These are very difficult issues with Europe, and they will be very difficult issues with the United Kingdom. Thousands of people in Germany have been told to go into quarantine after a coronavirus outbreak at an abattoir. As quoted by BBC.com, more than 650 people have been tested positive for the virus at the meat processing plant in Gütersloh, in the northwest of Germany. Operations at the site have been suspended since Wednesday afternoon. Over 1,000 workers have been tested so far, with thousands of others still awaiting testing. They and the people came into contact and they have been told to remain in quarantine until they receive their results. A spokesman for the company that operates the site, the Tony's Group, has apologized. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here is the commentary. Today's commentary is entitled Ahead of New School Academic Year in New Normal. After a learning process in the education sector was stopped in March 2020, Indonesian government officially decided that the new school academic year will begin in the second semester of this year. Previously, the closure of all schools, education institutions, and universities had made the learning process move into an online platform for the students. Inevitably, the new learning process forced stakeholders and all involved parties in education to suddenly make new schemes and procedures according to the government's directives. This is aimed to reduce and stop COVID-19 spread in education sector. After meeting some related ministries and COVID-19 handling special body on Monday, June the 15th, Minister of Education and Culture Nadiem Makarim said that the opening of the new academic year in July 2020 is a difficult decision considering the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. He also said that many things were sacrificed when the students learned from home. However, Minister Nadiem affirmed that his side will create special regulation in the learning process, such as for yellow and orange zones. Red zones will be banned from face-to-face study, while green zones will be allowed. However, the opening of face-to-face study is the regional government's authority. The opening of learning activity in July 2020 seems to have been anticipated by some education providers by referring to health protocols during the pandemic. Some regions have disseminated information of protocols when going to school in the new normal, such as school's general health, facility and infrastructure, departure from home to school, students' condition while in school, teacher and educational staff while at school, and returning from school. All of this needs serious proper and accurate preparation so that the learning activity at school will not be a new cluster such as in Beijing recently. Besides anticipating new cluster threats, the government also hopes to fix curriculum during the pandemic, mainly online learning. Just as stated by Forum Aksi Guru Indonesia, online study material can be adjusted to the COVID-19 pandemic. While in a discussion on national private television, many issues about the online learning process were discussed. One of them is students' limitations in accessing materials and learning processes. Besides the limitation in accessing the internet, socioeconomic and geographic factors can also affect the success of the online learning. Truly, the learning process can be done anywhere, but parents' preparedness in accompanying their children in studying must also be considered. Therefore, there should be guidance for parents in managing and maintaining the online learning process. And listener, that was today's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back in our regular program Today in History. We start from an event on June 18, 1983, when astronaut Sally K. Wright became the first woman of the United States of America along with her four partners who conducted outer space trip after being launched by Challenger. Sally Kristen Wright was an U.S. astronaut who was born in Encino, California. With a total Ph.D. in physics from Stanford University, she joined NASA in 1978 and became an astronaut and helped design robot arms for a space vehicle. On June 18, 1983, she became the first woman in the United States of America who was in outer space. In 1986, she became a member of a commission who investigated the accident of Space Shuttle Challenger at Columbia. After leaving NASA in 1989, she became a professor of physics and director of California Outer Space Institute at California University, San Diego. Next event is that in 1989, the name of Burma was changed to be Myanmar. On June 18, 1989, the government of the military junta in Myanmar changed the name of Burma to be Myanmar. The change was aimed to make the non-Burma ethnic feel part of the country. However, the change of the name was not fully adopted by the international world, especially by British Commonwealth countries. But the Association Southeast Asian Nation Asian and United Nations UN apply Myanmar instead of Burma. The last event is that in 1999, Motingo Boshe passed away. Motingo Boshe, whose real name was Bustami Jalid, was an Indonesian literator, director, and painter. Along his life, he has written more than 200 works, which are stored at Congress Library in Washington, D.C., until now. At the Park of Seoul City, South Korea, his name is carved among 1,000 names of world poets. Many of his works were translated into foreign languages, such as Czech, English, Dutch, French, German, Korean, Japanese, and Chinese. Motingo ever filled the radio drama of RRI Studio Bukit Tinggi in 1952. He also has directed some Indonesia's movie films. Motingo Boshe also loved painting art. In 1954, a painting exhibition in Padang, West Sumatra displayed 15 of his works. He passed away at the age of 61 years old on June 18, 1999. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Kau pernah katakan rasa rindu semua hanya padaku. Kau juga ungkapkan rasa sayang untuk yakinkan hati ini. Mengapa kini tiada sehangat diri saja.
Thank you very much for the listeners who are still with us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Next information will be in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled, Vice Minister of Environment and Forestry affirms handling of garbage issue must be done from upstream to downstream. Deputy Minister of Environment and Forestry, Alwi Dohong, emphasized that the problem of waste must be handled from upstream to downstream, and there needs to be public awareness of it. Alwi Dohong, in an online press conference held in Jakarta on Tuesday, June 16, said that the pollution of the Citarum River Basin happened due to the non-optimal implementation of garbage management, lack of facilities and infrastructure for waste management, and low concern of the community, visitors or tourists in maintaining cleanliness. The Vice Minister emphasized that regardless of the amount of investment in waste management and control must be accompanied by awareness of various parties about waste management. If not, it will require greater investment. Therefore, the handling waste problems must be done from upstream to downstream. The problem of waste in the Citarum River Basin is a concern because according to data from the Ministry of Environment and Forestry, the number of landfills entering the watershed is around 500,000 tons per year or around 1,300 tons per day in 2018. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry has provided support for waste management facilities to five local governments in the Citarum River Basin, namely Indramayu Regency, Purwakarta, Sumedang, Subang, and Bekasi. The facility is in the form of a recycling center, main waste bank, and biodigester, are expected to assist regional governments in the waste management process to reduce the amount of waste. The government mandates a target of reducing waste by 30% and handling waste by 70% by 2025, in accordance with Presidential Regulation No. 97 of 2017 concerning national policies and strategies for the management of household waste and household trash. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Saat kau pergi jauh dari diriku sayangku, mendambakanmu sepeluk diriku, seakan tiada esok datang. Dan aku berharap kau kan baik-baik saja, dan aku rindu. Aku di sini menunggu kehadiranmu selalu, cintaku. Ku sabar menunggu, jaga dirimu selalu. Kan ku serahkan segalanya kepada Sang Maha Kuasa. Dan aku berharap kau kan baik-baik saja, dan aku rindu.
Doaku menyertaimu, cintaku.
Listener, although in the COVID-19 pandemic, we cannot travel here and there, well, that easily, but I think before you're coming to our country, you might need to have some references about our culture or our tourism. The information will be coming up in the Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Sipak Ranggo, a traditional game from West Sumatra Province. Stay tuned. Minangkabau people in West Sumatra Province has a unique traditional game, namely Sipak Ranggo. Sipak Ranggo is played by 5 until 10 players. When playing, they form a circle at the open square by playing ball with their feet and certain techniques so that the ball moves from one player to another without falling down, without falling down to the ground. The ball is especially made from young plaited coconut leaves or rattan leather. In the past, the game Sipak Ranggo was conducted by young men in West Sumatra in the evening to fill spare time and as a means of entertainment. Until now, Minangkabau people believe that this traditional game has noble values that must be preserved, such as the values of cooperation and deliberation, so that although Minang people currently familiar to various modern games, Sipak Ranggo still keeps being played, especially by Minang people who live in Padang and other regions in West Sumatra Province. Actually, there are no rules in the Sipak Ranggo game because the game was not competed in the past. The assessment is on the skill of the players in playing the ball that not to fall down to the ground. However, the Sipak Ranggo game now began to be competed. Usually, the assessment of the winners is determined by jury with certain assessment points. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now.
More information about Indonesia is coming up next in Miscellany.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's Citizen, we present you information on PT POS launches space application. To face COVID-19 pandemic, new normal concept is gradually begun to be implemented in many countries, including Indonesia. In Indonesia, various kinds of preparation to face new normal have been conducted by many sites and also industrial sectors. One of the state-owned enterprises, which recently has provided special step to face the new normal, is PT POS Indonesia. PT POS Indonesia launched an application to face the new normal. The application is Space and POS Giro Mobile. Director of Strategic Relations and Agency of PT POS Indonesia, Nur Fadriansah, said that PT POS invented innovation by developing digital service, namely space conference video and financial service application of POS Giro Mobile. The digital service, which is obtained from the space application, is video conference as media which supports meeting virtually. Via this digital service, people can keep a distance or do not meet physically, but they can hold a meeting virtually. According to Nur Fadriansah, the space application is hope as solution on the need of internal communication and coordination, which is more efficient and faster in supporting business operation. He also claimed that the space application is not much different from other applications. The space application is confirmed safer, more effective, and efficient in terms of operational costs for PT POS Indonesia, because it has been developed by its internal IT team. Space application has other advantages which do not owned by other virtual applications. The space application can still be used on data connection, which is not too high. At least, this is still able to run on data connection on 50 kilobytes, and its performance will increase more according to data connection level. This application can also reach various remote regions in Indonesia. For its feature, space is provided in application on the base of websites and also Android mobile version, which is integrated by information system of SDM of PT POS management. PT POS also provides application in financial service with the name POS Giro Mobile. Through the application, people can do transaction of financial service as usual. With this online-based service, it is hoped that it can support the community so that they do not have to leave the house to prevent the spread of COVID-19. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
All right, honestly, we are presenting you a lot of information, but we accompany them with some songs. Anyway, the next one, we still have more songs for you, but we have additional information about it. Next one, the music information.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, we will present a song titled Kau Tercipta Untukku by Betaria Sonata. Betaria Sonata began her career as a singer since the 1980s. Her first album, titled Kau Tercipta Untukku, was released in 1981. The album has a leading song with the same title. The song brought her name became popular in the Indonesian pop music industry around 1980s. The song Kau Tercipta Untukku tells a story of a couple lover who are created to love each other. Listener, let's listen to Betaria Sonata with the song Kau Tercipta Untukku. Enjoy the song.
Semua tahu buruk
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you very much for the listeners who have joined us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Please tell us how you feel about our program. You can send it to our email voi@voanews.id or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well, then, listener, I'm Stefanus Wong. Thank you very much for listening and stay tuned in The Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.